WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Two toddlers have died in separate gun accidents in Virginia. A federal judge sides with Gavin Grimm, and we attend a time-honored scouting tradition, a Pinewood Derby race raising awareness of local kids in single-family homes. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, May 23rd.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
Two toddlers have died in separate gun accidents in Virginia. The Daily Progress reports that a Louisa County toddler was killed after being accidentally shot by his four-year-old brother. And this week in Roanoke, a two-year-old died after he shot himself. The Louisa County boy was taken to the UVA Medical Center, where he died shortly after arrival. Police said the boy's brother accidentally fired the gun. The gun was owned by the children's father, who was at work at the time. Their mother was in the home with the children when the shooting occurred. A federal judge in Virginia has sided with Gavin Grimm, a transgender teenager from Gloucester who spent most of his high school years fighting for his right to use the boys' bathroom. WCVE's Charles Fishburne reports.
Gavin Grimm graduated last year, but the case continues as the center of a national fight for transgender student rights.
This problem or issue will come up again.
Carl Tobias, law professor at the University of Richmond.
It's still in court because he would like to vindicate the principal, and the ACLU probably has argued that this could happen to other students. It's not just him.
The Supreme Court was set to hear the case, but sent it back to the lower federal court after the Trump administration rescinded Obama administration guidelines on which the court had based its decision. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Virginia will have to wait at least another week for a budget. The Senate panel that handles legislative procedures voted Tuesday to put off a Senate Finance Committee meeting until next Tuesday. Lawmakers say they need the time to review an unofficial budget agreement struck between the House and Senate Finance Committee co-chairs. Also in Richmond, affordable housing advocates convened their first meeting for a campaign to reduce evictions on Tuesday. As WCVE's Megan Pauley reports, a big focus was data.
The group has obtained a decade's worth of court files from Virginia's Supreme Court. Jonathan Knopf with affordable housing group HD Advisors says the data set includes about 1.7 million unlawful detainers filed between 2008 and 2017.
The unlawful detainer is the very first step in the eviction process. It is the actual eviction lawsuit that a landlord will file in order to begin the eviction process.
Martin Wegbright with the Central Virginia Legal Aid Society says the records should provide a better idea of why the eviction cases were brought to court in the first place.
There are certain checkboxes and blanks that have to be checked or filled out, and that is the only way you know the landlord's reason for the eviction.
The group plans to request data from sheriffs to find out how many people are ultimately locked out of their homes as a result of an eviction case. Megan Pauley, WMRA News.
The coalition will convene three work groups over the summer, one focused on legal and court reforms, another on prevention services, and a third on affordable housing stock. The campaign's website is reduceevictions.org. Another protester is occupying an aerial blockade along the route of the Mountain Valley Pipeline west of Roanoke. A group called Appalachians Against Pipelines says that 30-year-old Fern McDougall on Monday ascended a platform suspended from ropes anchored to trees. It is strung across a Giles County road that officials plan to use to reach a construction site. At least eight other protesters have occupied similar blockades across the 300-mile natural gas pipeline construction route. Governor Ralph Northam wants to make Virginia more attractive to offshore wind power. There are no offshore wind facilities yet, but Dominion is working on two offshore wind turbines. As part of a pilot project, the company says could lead to a much larger wind farm. The state's Energy Department is seeking a contractor to help Virginia become an East Coast hub for offshore wind energy. Finally, about one-third of children in Harrisonburg live in single-parent homes. One Valley chapter of the Boy Scouts of America gathered local businesses, community members, and scouting enthusiasts on Sunday to raise money and awareness. And as WMRA's Calvin Penn reports, it was a time-honored scouting event, a Pinewood Derby.
There's a lot that goes into turning a little block of Pinewood into a race-winning car. Weight, size, wheel placement. But as longtime venture scout Carly Watson explains, it's all about function over fashion.
This is not a fancy-looking car, first off, because it's a very basic, you know, there's no cool designs or anything. So this was, we were going for the science, not the looks. So it's pretty, but not fancy.
That philosophy drove Watson's car into first place during the Stonewall Jackson Area Council's first corporate Pinewood Derby on Sunday. But it is also one of the many lessons that can be taken for those who participate in scouting. The desire to continue imparting those lessons brought several local businesses and a couple dozen more scouting enthusiasts to Melrose Caverns to celebrate scouting and raise money for the council's Massanutten District, which covers Harrisonburg, Rockingham County, and Pendleton County, West Virginia. Michael Alexio, a Harrisonburg ear, nose, and throat doctor and former Boy Scout, pulled the event together after learning of a growing number of single-family households in the area.
As a physician, I hear from patients, a lot of patients, all the time, kind of the heartbeat of the community, what's going on. And what I hear is there is a lot of youth that have a lack of mentors in their lives.
The American Community Survey's 2018 study, which collected data between 2012 and 2016, shows that 35% of children in Harrisonburg live in single-parent households, with 22% in Rockingham County and 26% in Pendleton County. Those numbers tend to hold steady, but have gone up slightly since 2011. That prompted Alexio to act.
And I know from a practical standpoint that those parents are working really hard just to make ends meet. So there's not a lot of time, or there's no time to be with your kids and teach them the right from wrong.
Local business owners and other attendees raised more than $27,000 for the Massanutten District, in part through participation in the Derby. As any scout will tell you, it's a time-honored tradition, but this race was a little different. Adults usually only help build the children's cars. This time, though, the grown-ups got to race.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Wow! Those were smoking fast.
The Stonewall Jackson Area Council covers 13 counties across the Shenandoah Valley, with more than 3,500 scouts and more than 1,800 individual adult volunteers. And just like the Boy Scouts of America overall, is self-funded. The money raised will help cover a wide range of expenses, from new docks and a dining hall expansion at Camp Shenandoah, to covering registration fees for scouts who couldn't afford them otherwise. For children lacking mentorship, the money raised will also fund outreach efforts for families unaware of scouting as an option for their children.
We've always been steadfast in our relationships with single-parent families where they need that role model, they need that character, leadership building segment.
Jim Battaglia is Chief Operating Officer for the Stonewall Jackson Area Council.
We subscribe to the principle that the role model defines how a child can develop their own character over time. It really depends on the family and the individual and what they're looking for.
The Corporate Pinewood Derby followed a significant announcement for the Boy Scouts of America earlier this month, as the organization will change its name next February to Scouts BSA to reflect girls' inclusion in the organization. Girls can already participate in the co-ed Venture Scouting and Cub Scouts program, but will be able to earn merit badges and climb the ranks to become Eagle Scouts next year. Joe Reisinger is a scout leader currently serving as the council's vice president of science, technology, engineering, and math, and wants to clear up the misconception about girls being allowed in the scouts for the first time.
In fact, it was a push from the parents of scouts who for many, many years have been taking the little girl along with the little boy, the brother and sister that is, taking them off to the scout meeting, and the girl participates just as much as the little boy does.
Reisinger's example closely parallels Watson's experience. She, as a venture scout, got into the program following her three older brothers.
I've learned so much. I've learned not only outdoor skills, but leadership skills. And I've been able to be confident and be able to find a job and getting into school and things like that. It makes you 10 times more confident as a person.
For those involved in scouting, those lessons amount to more than just earning merit badges. Or in Carly's case, winning first place in the Pinewood Derby. For WMRA News, I'm Calvin Penn.
You can learn more about that story at WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Wednesday.